Hey everyone, welcome to the Overflow Podcast, where pastor, author, speaker, and consultant Jim Stern explores various benefits and blessings of life lived in the overflow of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's love. There is so much to discover, to learn, to feel, and to see when God goes first and we live in the overflow.
Here we go back into another life-giving episode, life-giving time together in the overflow. Man, we are here back learning to live, trying to learn how to live in the overflow, letting God our Father go first, letting Jesus go first, letting the Holy Spirit go first, being receivers of the love and the anointing and the power and the juice that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want to deposit in us regularly. Jesus is the vine. We are the branch. The Holy Spirit is the living water. We are the vessel of that living water. God, our Father, is our Father. We love because He first loved us. Everything in the overflow is about letting God, our Father, go first, opening up our eyes and our spirits wider and wider to take in the enormity, the gloriousness and the wonder and the awe of what it is to be saved, what it is to be adopted into the family of our Father. One of the things that I do in preparation for my clients, whether I'm going to work with a church or a ministry, I just got off the phone with the church, and one of the things that I will ask me to come in and do something for them, and one of the things I'll do before I go is do a little research on the church, and I'm going to read their doctrinal statement, read the doctrinal statement of the church, and read the doctrinal statement of the ministry. And in about 98% of the time, in their doctrinal statements, they will say nothing in their doctrinal statements about the kingdom of God. Nothing, not a mention of kingdom terminology. And one of my passions is awakening brothers and sisters, igniting kingdom fires in the name of Jesus. And there is just so much juice. There's so much boots on the ground. I'm talking bombs dropping and bullets flying. I'm talking in the mainstream of your life, every step, every breath that you take. There's so much opportunity. There's so much benefit that our Father intends you to walk in. So much transformation that's available to you because of the kingdom, that you cannot get from any other supplemental. You can't supplement, you can't substitute any other aspect of our faith that's going to do to us what is intended to be done to us by having kingdom consciousness, kingdom awareness, in the name of Jesus. And so we continue. We're going to come back to the kingdom of God this week. We talked about it last week. We talked about last week in the context of King Jotham, 2 Chronicles 27, who was considered mighty before the Lord because he ordered his be, his build, and his fight. Jotham ordered his be, his build, and his fight. If that doesn't sound familiar to you, I encourage you to go back and listen to any of the other Overflow episodes from this year. This is what we've been unpacking. We're going to land back again in this understanding of the kingdom of God. And we're reduplicating. We're going to beat this kingdom drum because of the woeful deficiency that many of us have been exposed to, haven't been exposed to, in the training in which we have had of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so I want to just continue to beat on this until we become kingdom conscious because of the value that's available to you, because of the enormity of what's involved, because of the joy that is supposed to be ours. And so our passage today comes from John chapter 18, verse 36. Very, very, very familiar, famous, face-to-face encounter. Jesus goes one-on-one with Pontius Pilate, or we should probably say it the other way around. Pontius Pilate goes one-on-one with Jesus. In their dialogue, Pilate asks Jesus if he's a king. And in John 18:36, Jesus gives these words. Jesus says in response to Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. You gotta feel the awkwardness and tremendous enormity of Jesus' words to Pilate. You got to feel this. My kingdom is not of this world. He is speaking, Jesus, our teacher, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the one who died on the cross for forgiveness of our sins. He is speaking of a completely different alternative reality. He is speaking about a coexistent realm, a wholly different sphere where completely capable of delivering life. And Pilate has no clue, no clue. Pilate is bound by his own intoxication and indoctrination to his world. And consequently, he is just blind. He's blind. Maybe you're a boxing fan or a UFC guy or gal, you know, at a weigh-in for a boxing match or a UFC fight, the two fighters will stand face-to-face after they do their weigh-in. They've taken off their clothes, so they're standing in their fighting attire. They stand face-to-face. They flex their muscles, and in doing so, they're trying to win any kind of psychological edge. One fighter is trying to convince the other that he knows something decisive that the other does not yet know. In this passage, Jesus and Pilate are standing face-to-face. Pilate is a quote-unquote free man, and Jesus is bound in some kind of shackles. Pilate flexes the might of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, the dominant geopolitical force of his day, and Jesus does not flinch. Now you got to feel the weight of that. You got to feel the weight of that. When Jesus does speak, you got to see this. He does not give Pilate a moral lesson. He doesn't quote him the Beatitudes. He doesn't talk about the church. He doesn't talk about the local church or local church issues. When Jesus stands in front of Pilate, Jesus invokes the surpassing greatness of an alternative reality, an alternative, not of this world reality, that is his Father's kingdom. His Father's kingdom. And so Jesus sets up this contrast, and we see Jesus one-on-one with Pilate, and in light of the kingdom of God, we say, what is Rome in all of its glory and its majesty and its accomplishments? What is Rome when compared to the kingdom of God? For that matter, what is the capability of the Roman war machine compared to the angel warriors of the king? What is Caesar compared to the Son of God? The kingdom of God dwarfs Rome as Jesus dwarfs Caesar. I wonder straight away, do an examination in your own heart. I wonder straight away what the relevance of Jesus and his kingdom mission is to your daily passion and purpose. What is the relevance? What is the heartbeat? What is the source of your fire? What is the fever of your fire with respect to Jesus and his kingdom mission? Man, so many of us have been raised to believe that life in Christ is mostly about being a change from a bad sinner to a decent person. I used to cuss. I used to drink. I don't drink as much now, and I don't cuss as much now. We are taught that you were a rotted man or woman who fell short of God's glory, but Jesus has paid the price for your failure. Receive him, and your sins will be forgiven. So goes the teaching and preaching, and I've been in two large group things just even today. And oh man, there is so much left on the table, so much meat left on the table, so much transformational reality that's left on the table. Where is the teaching on the glory and the majesty and the vastness of our Father's kingdom? Where is the missional training to purpose ourselves as Jesus did to advance our Father's kingdom? Where is the honor and privilege for Christians being chosen for kingdom purposes? Where is deliverance into another reality? Where is the personalization of this, that it was our Father's kingdom that was taken from Adam and Eve? It was our Father's kingdom, and Jesus, the Son of our Father, came to take it back. And he has adopted us. We've been adopted into our family's Father to join in the family business of restoring and advancing our Father's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Where is that in our training? Jesus says to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Probe yourself again, evaluate yourself again, and contrast in yourself. Just as a way of vetting the distances that may be real in your own life. Contrast in yourself the distances in how you feel about Jesus's morality compared to his kingdom. The distances. When we talk about the kingdom of God, how far off does that feel to you in your daily living? When we talk about the kingdom of God, how far off does that feel to you? Contrast that with how close does Jesus's teaching on morality, like the Beatitudes or worry or adultery. Oftentimes, his moral teachings sound way more familiar to us and have some degree of significantly more relevance to us than his teaching about the kingdom. Just even in your own self, feel the distance, the gap, the length that separates in your heart the nearness of Jesus's teachings with the distance, with his moral teachings, with the distance of Jesus's teaching on the kingdom. And consider that in light of the reality that the kingdom of God was Jesus's heart. It was his daily life. It was his teaching. This is not five steps to be a better Christian parent. This is an invitation to be delivered from one reality ruled by Satan into another alternative reality in which Jesus is king and the Holy Spirit is fuel. This is taking Neo's red pill from the Matrix or walking through C.S. Lewis's wardrobe and the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. This is alternate reality. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Watch this. As of the end of February 2024, Microsoft is the largest. Used to be Apple. Microsoft blew past Apple and is now the largest company in the world. As of the end of February 2024, Microsoft's market cap is over $3 trillion. $3 trillion. Yikes. Consider also that in 2023, the United States budgeted $905 billion just for defense spending. Microsoft, $3 trillion. United States budget, 2023, $905 billion just for defense spending. In the defense world, doing some amazing technology things. The Army is working on using artificial intelligence to fly drones that can destroy enemies' defenses with lasers. Lasers! This is right out of Star Trek, Star Wars, and every other sci-fi movie that we've been raised on. So in light of that, in light of the size of Microsoft and the macro level things that Microsoft is doing, in light of the United States federal government and $905 billion budget for defense spending, what exactly is your church? What exactly is your church? What kind of difference can one person make in a world that rapidly is evolving with technological, astounding technological breakthroughs? And then beyond Microsoft and the United States, what about China and Russia and the ascendance of India or the economic future of the African continent? What's your church compared? What's your ministry compared to those things? These are massive macro level realities that can make Jesus, the church, and your faith seem insignificant at best and irrelevant. Irrelevant at worst. But Jesus stands in the face of Pilate, the representative of the Roman Empire, the dominant geopolitical force of his time. And Jesus says to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Microsoft, United States, China, Russia, India, economic future of the African continent. But the kingdom of the living God, the enormity of the throne on which Jesus sits. And according to Jesus, the truth about the world in which AI piloted drones shoot lasers and the inevitability that every one of us, including Elon Musk, will one day die for all of our lives. All of our lives are just vapors. They're just vapors. We're pressing into this kingdom stuff hardcore, and we'll probably come back to it again next week and just continue to beat this drum, because my fear is that your Jesus is too small and his kingdom is barely existent in the meager fire of your heart. My fear is that because of this size discrepancy, the lure of the widget world or the influence of government is woefully outsized in your passions. In your passions. You can't see or you struggle to see the relevance of sitting quiet in the presence of our Father in your living room at 6 o'clock in the morning. You don't understand the relevance of that to winning in the day, to winning in your life. you're sure it's nice and it's probably a good thing to do, but how much does it really contribute to winning? You cannot see the power of sitting across the table from another person and being available to listen to them as they share from their dark places. My fear is that Jesus is just nice and his morality seems to be better than others, but he's not essential for winning in the battle of life. My fear is that because your view and understanding of the kingdom of God is so impaired, that the rapidly growing size of the things of this world will just snuff out faith. Hey, listen, man, listen, Jesus knew all of this stuff. He knows about the size of the world. He knows about the size of economies. He knows about the size of companies. He knows about the size of buildings. He knows about the size of budgets. He knows about the size of geopolitical entities. This is one of the reasons why Jesus masterfully, brilliantly teaches us to pray daily to our Father, daily to our Father, Heavenly Father, let your kingdom come. He gives us the Lord's Prayer, and he teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come. And man, if you can embrace this, if you allow the Holy Spirit to open your heart and see this, this daily invocation of let your kingdom come, it can be a daily invocation as a strong anchor against getting swallowed by the widget whales. It is wisdom. Praying let your kingdom come can be wisdom that will guard you against being consumed by geopolitical saber rattling. It is a daily reminder that we've been delivered into not of this world. It is a daily jolt that regardless of the world and the size of its problems or the might of its threats, that we are a part of an unstoppable movement of the living God. And that is the antidote to an ever-larging, I don't think that's a word. An ever intoxicating world is the buffer of the kingdom of God. Man, I pray that the Holy Spirit will open you wide to the magnitude of the kingdom so that you will be delivered from drooling at the world's largesse. No matter how advanced technology gets, you need to understand this. No matter how advanced technology gets, no matter how big companies get or how powerful countries become, people are always just people. As advanced as the technology gets on Star Trek, I love Star Trek, and as advanced as the technology gets on Star Trek, the people in Star Trek are still people. They still have the same issues. There's still power and pride and jealousy and sex and lust and money, and no one's changed. The technology has changed. People will always be people. And people's desire, their great desire, your great desire, is very simple. They want to be loved. You want to be loved, and they want to be a part of something great. Want to be a part of something great. This is life in the overflow. Life in the overflow of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit satisfies souls. And one of the ways that it satisfies souls is by awakening us to the grandeur and the enormity and the privilege and the unbelievable calling it is to be a part of our Father's kingdom work. And in the overflow, we get to live that life out one day at a time. Will you pray and ask our Father to open your eyes wider, your heart wider, your spirit wider to the joy, the wonder, and the awe of his holy kingdom? Will you pray that? As you read through Scripture, will you pay attention to kingdom references? Will you pay attention to the alternate reality of Jesus and his teaching? And will you ask the Holy Spirit of the living God to further deliver you out of this world into the cosmological reality, the supernatural reality of the kingdom of God our Father, the kingship of Jesus, and the life source of the Holy Spirit? Man, I hope this has been super helpful for you. We're doing this in part, we're pressing in part, A, because, again, I continue to see these doctrinal statements everywhere that are just void of the kingdom. I continue to meet with individuals and probe them on the kingdom, and they look at me cross-eyed. But then we're also doing this because the season of life in the United States is just vitriolic. And apart from the kingdom of God, the government gets way outsized, political leaders get way outsized, and we as followers of Jesus get extremely distracted and woefully deluded. So be wise. I want you fired up in the kingdom of God to advance our Father's name, one person, one step, one issue at a time. If this has been helpful to you, man, would you please share this on your social medias, networks, pass it around to all your friends that are getting caught up in Fox News or CNN or the latest political presidential blah, blah, blah. And let's see if we can't together turn our brothers and sisters onto a kingdom agenda and a kingdom mindset to love and reach people one person, one step, one issue at a time. If Trexo, the ministry of Trexo, is a blessing to you, and God our Father would put on your heart to help us financially, we would certainly love the support. Trexo.org/donate. Trexo.org/donate. You can also find a bunch of book resources for follow-up reading, podcast resources on our website, trexo.org. If I can do anything for you, come and speak to your church or your ministry, or if I can help you in kingdom coaching, doing consulting work for your church or your ministry as well, or for you as an individual, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can get me jim@trexo.org. Otherwise, have a fantastic day getting some kingdom wins as we seek to serve our Father in the overflow of the Holy Spirit as Jesus Christ is our example.
Thank you for joining us in the overflow. To find a blog connected to today's session where you can engage with Jim and others, go to trexo.org/blog. This podcast is made available through the gracious giving of people just like you. If you would like to help us bring more people into the healing waters of our Father's love, you can do so at trexo.org/donate. We will be back next week for another edition of Overflow.